Well, welcome to iForum Rx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today, we'll be discussing the manuscript entitled Myo-Inositol Supplementation for Prevention of Gestational Diabetes in Obese Pregnant Women, a randomized controlled trial, which appeared in the August 2015 issue of Obstetrics and Gynecology, affectionately called the Green Journal. Joining us today is Dr. Aaron Rainey, who is on faculty at Midwestern University College of Pharmacy in Glendale, Arizona, and practices at Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic in the area of family medicine. Dr. Rainey wrote a commentary for iForumRx. Aaron, thank you for joining us for the iForumRx podcast today and sharing with us your thoughts regarding this study.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
So my first question, Aaron, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study by Rosario Diana and colleagues regarding the use of myo-inositol to prevent gestational diabetes to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Well, this study evaluated the use of myo-inositol for the primary prevention of gestational diabetes in obese pregnant women. There were 220 women in Italy who were assigned in a randomized open-label design to either the treatment group, which consisted of myo-inositol plus folic acid, or a control group of folic acid alone. And they were followed through the pregnancy for development of gestational diabetes as defined by the IADPSG criteria and a change in markers of insulin resistance. Secondary measurements included assessments of pregnancy outcomes that are typically associated with gestational diabetes, such as macrosomia, cesarean or preterm delivery, and the need for insulin treatment. The myo-inositol group had a 66% lower risk of gestational diabetes and did experience a positive impact on insulin resistance, while most of the secondary clinical outcomes were similar between groups. Although the study wasn't specifically designed to evaluate safety, the regimen did appear well tolerated in terms of adverse effects.
So, in critically examining the study methodology, what would you say are the major strengths, potential weaknesses, and the limitations of this study?
Well, this group of researchers has used a consistent study design and product dosing across several investigations of myo-inositol for the prevention of gestational diabetes, and that does facilitate comparison and application of their results in aggregate. And the focus on obese women was an important follow-up to prior studies to help address a primary risk group for development of gestational diabetes. However, the small sample size likely limited the ability to discern any differences in the secondary pregnancy outcomes, and the lack of representation of ethnicities with the highest risk, at least in the U.S., limits the ability to apply the results here. The authors did recognize that larger studies with a double-blinded design are necessary to further confirm their results. And additionally, while the diagnostic criteria for gestational diabetes using IADPSG criteria is widely recognized, other criteria are also utilized in the U.S., and this area does continue to be controversial. So a question remains as to whether the reduced incidence of gestational diabetes demonstrated in this study would have been sustained if alternate diagnostic criteria were applied.
Well, Aaron, we don't often see randomized controlled trials in pregnant women. So in that regard, this is kind of a remarkable study. I have to say, after reading it, the results are a bit of a mixed bag. While the incidence of gestational diabetes was reduced by myo-inositol use, other important pregnancy-related outcomes, such as the incidence of maternal insulin use, macrosomia, and shoulder dystocia, were not improved. On the other hand, the rates of maternal hypertension, premature birth, and NICU transfer were positively impacted. Are these findings surprising? Are they compelling?
Well, it's always exciting when we can approach a condition from the prevention perspective rather than at diagnosis. I think it is important to keep in mind that while a reduction in the diagnosis of gestational diabetes itself is very desirable and does seem likely from this supplementation, the true clinical importance is really with improved maternal and fetal outcomes. So if the need for insulin treatment or the incidence of macrosomia or shoulder dystocia are not different between groups, then we continue to have the same resource utilization and clinical concerns at birth for both the mother and infant. The study did show some positive trends in the areas of NICU transfers and gestational hypertension, as you mentioned, but it did not. The study itself did not achieve power to identify a difference statistically. And also, there are many reasons that contribute to NICU transfers and gestational hypertension. So it is possible these differences were for reasons outside the influence of the myo-inositol. In my opinion, when taken along with the results of several other pilot studies, this study provides a compelling argument for funding and performing larger studies in more diverse populations. That will help us identify the clinical relevance of any of these observed differences on a broader scale. Additionally, evaluating myo-inositol for secondary prevention in women who have had gestational diabetes in a prior pregnancy is desirable, and this has been part of the exclusion criteria of prior studies. And I'd also like to comment on the issue of safety. While inositol is found in many foods that are ingested during pregnancy and is produced in the body, the safety impact of higher doses used therapeutically has not yet been proven through a purposeful evaluation of safety outcomes. It is a positive finding that the doses studied appeared well tolerated in terms of common adverse effects such as gastrointestinal conditions and disordered sleep.
So, Dr. Rainey, I want you to imagine that you have a 36-year-old Hispanic female patient who's coming to the family medicine clinic today for her 12-week prenatal visit. This is her first pregnancy, and so far everything has been normal. The patient is overweight with a BMI of 32, and her blood pressure is 118 over 76. Her fasting blood glucose this morning was 102, and urine glucose was negative. The patient has a family history of type 2 diabetes. Both her father and her sister have type 2 diabetes. And indeed, her sister developed gestational diabetes during her first pregnancy at the age of 24. So would you consider recommending myo-inositol to this patient? And if so, what product, dosage form, and dose would you recommend? And if you wouldn't recommend it, would you actively discourage this patient from using it if she wanted to?
At this point, I would not proactively recommend the use of myo-inositol for this patient. While she is obese, she otherwise doesn't represent the primary ethnicity included in most studies thus far, so it's difficult to generalize the results to her situation specifically. She does have a strong family history, and I would definitely take the opportunity instead to educate her on multiple strategies known to promote a healthy pregnancy, including diet and physical activity to achieve appropriate pregnancy weight gain given her obesity. Also, we would discuss avoidance of tobacco and alcohol, assess her environmental and occupational exposures, and review the importance of routine follow-up. If she had a question about the use of it herself, I would remind her of the limitations I spoke of earlier, such as the uncertain benefits when we look at actual pregnancy outcomes and the limited information on risk. I would also speak to her about some unique issues with identifying quality products. Because myo-inositol is under investigation for many uses, including conditions such as polycystic ovary syndrome and infertility, there are quite a few readily available products on the internet that are promoted for women's health. And some of those are actually combined with other supplements or herbs such as chasteberry berry and red clover, which would not be recommended during pregnancy. So these products certainly don't represent what was used in the studies, and I would want to clearly describe these concerns from that perspective.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Rainey, for joining us on the iPharmRx podcast and reviewing the study by Dr. Diana and colleagues that evaluated the use of myo-inositol to prevent gestational diabetes. It's clear from your comments that it appears that myo-inositol can reduce the risk of gestational diabetes, but it hasn't been studied in diverse populations, and we don't know what the safety issues are yet. So it's probably not prime time yet to be recommending this therapy to most patients. But tell us what you think. Will you encourage your patients who are at high risk for gestational diabetes to take myo-inositol supplements during the second and third trimesters of pregnancy? Post a comment. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of i4MRX, signing off.